Okay, hi, this is Adrienne McHugh from the Enneagram Life, and we have a treat. We really do. We have Ingrid Staff with us, who's going to be talking with us about the Enneagram and Elizabeth Wakely. We are doing a tribute, remembering a wonderful life, a person who has changed the way people see the Enneagram with fun and artistry. And I'm so excited to bring Ingrid on. So welcome.
Thanks, Adrienne. I'm so excited to do this with you because I know you and I are both big fans of Elizabeth Wakely. And I really look forward to just taking time to remember her and look at her cartoons and have some laughs. And there's so many books. I think you probably found her work before I did. My first book was Are You My Type, Am I Yours? I heard Elizabeth Wakely being interviewed with Renee Barron on the radio, on a radio show called Family Talk on KQED. Mm-hmm. And I was so captivated. I had never heard of the Enneagram, and I was so captivated. I ran to the bookstore and bought everything I could find and tested everybody in my family and my friends and just went nuts. But it sounds like something like that happened to you too. That, I think for me, that was around 1995. When did you first stumble upon this?
Oh my goodness. I was in university. I was at Columbia. I wasn't, not Columbia University, but Columbia College. I was an artist. And I knew a friend of mine named Derek. He was British. And his mother, which is really funny, his mother was a psychologist. And I was introduced to the Enneagram from her. And they were trying to figure out my type because I have a very interesting childhood background. And so I wanted something, you know, to understand it. And I literally went to the bookstore and I found Enneagram Made Easy. And I fell in love with it because I'm an artist. You know, I was going to Columbia to be an artist, an illustrator. And this book really spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is interesting. It was easy to understand, I think, because I was online looking at, the Enneagram Institute and that kind of thing, but I really wanted to kind of have it in my hand so I can kind of read it from cover to cover. And this book literally was cover to cover. I had sticky notes everywhere. I had, you know, I was just trying to figure out what my type, because we were trying to figure out, I could not figure my type. It took me a whole year to figure it out that I was a Enneagram 6. But I thought, you know, there was a whole thing about, you know, I was thinking of people in history who weren't so nice, who were sixes. And I was like, I don't want to be a six. But I just love this book and I love the illustrations in it. And that's what hooked me.
You know, I really relate to what you're saying because it's the same thing. I mean, this book is all bent up, you know. I have next to the quizzes, I have people's initials, you know, so, or this is like Liz, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Lydia, James, Mark. It just kind of goes down, and I kept writing in this book and checkmarking, and, you know.
Look at mine.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that. You have initials in there, RS with somebody you were testing. And, but yeah, you know, like you, it took me a long time to figure out my type. Honestly, it probably took me years, which is kind of embarrassing because, you know, it was almost, I think for me, it was almost more about testing everybody else around me and having fun typing them. But for myself, I guess at first I assumed I was a 3 because I was achievement oriented. And it took quite a while. I mean, honestly, I think it took like 10 years
Wow.
for me to realize that I was a type 7. And that was after talking to a therapist where she said, Ingrid, I think you're always making lemonade out of lemons. And then I realized that all the achievement that I try to do is for the fun of it, you know. And so it was almost as though it didn't matter what my type was, which is ridiculous. This is about self-discovery, right? Self-awareness. But, you know, just thinking about it, I think I was just having so much fun testing everybody else. Did you do that too?
Oh, please. Everyone said stop. Because you know how you do the first couple of years, first 3-5 years. You're kind of like, I want to know your type. I want to understand you. I want us to have a better relationship. Come on, let me find out. And I was just telling people, you're 9, you're 7, you're 6. And you can't do that. But that's what you do for the first 1 to 3 years when you're trying to type. And then you say, okay, wait a minute. People are not liking this. And then you kind of hold it into yourself and say, I think I know your type, but I'm not sure. For me, though, I will say I had a hard time typing 7s, which now is kind of funny because I can spot a 7 a mile away. But a 7 was hard for me. A 9 was hard for me. Of course, a 6. And then also, those were really the hard ones because of the 6 and 8 sometimes was tricky because, you know, depending on the stance of the 6 versus the 8. Mm-hmm. So I had a hard time with 7s. I couldn't figure out the types or the typography of that, of the motivation behind it. And so that took me a while, some years actually, to learn about the 7.
Interesting. Yeah, that's surprising. You know, one thing I'm thinking is that I've had a chance to kind of ponder Liz's work a lot lately, and she's so loved around the world. Her books are translating to 17 different languages. And people have been posting on her Facebook page from all over the world. So many of the greats, the Enneagram greats, like Russ Hudson, yeah. Tom Condon, and many leaders in the community and major teachers are all just crushed with her passing. And I think a lot of us, she was probably one of the first few books that we read, or if not the first. She's definitely very unique in the way that she brings humor to the Enneagram. If you think about it, all the other books are really serious, and they're spiritual books or psychological in nature and fantastic. You know, they get to the depth of the Enneagram. But it's so neat that she's really the only one I can think of that brings in the humor. And sometimes that's one of the best ways to help people understand themselves and others. Can you think of anyone else who uses humor so heavily to...
No, I think about this. No, I think it's been more and more psychology or spiritual. I'm more on the psychology side of things. And some people make, you know, references to famous or fake characters that I've seen a lot, but not like Elizabeth. I think she's unique in that way. And I think that's why I was so drawn to her as far as an artist, because yeah. I was really hooked. I was going to school for 4 years. You know, I was doing paint, you know, I was oils and canvases and everything. And wow. that kind of interested me. I said, oh man, it's just so cool. It's so simple, but it's great humor, but also truth. And for me, when I would go and read my types, and I was reading other people's types as well, I saw my friends like come to life. I understood, you know, why they were this way or how they, you know, saw things or saw life that wasn't like me. And this was like epiphany for me. It was kind of like, oh my goodness, everybody doesn't think the way I do. Right. Everyone is not, scared of certain things or kind of quiet or loud. I'm loud and quiet sometimes. And that was interesting for me too. And so I really liked her work a great deal. And when I got this book, the first book, Enneagram Made Easy, I literally, as soon as I finished that, I was just reading it cover to cover. Mm-hmm. I said, well, she has more? Does she have more? Does she have more? Mm-hmm. And I literally got the next book. I mean, I literally ran to the store and started reading that too. And I just had all these post-it notes everywhere. The book went with me everywhere I went. In my backpack, I mean, I took it everywhere. And I was reading
it. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I carried this thing around in my backpack too. Yeah, well, I mentioned that. You said you want to get other books. For the listeners, let's list out her books. So the first came out in 1994. which was the Enneagram Made Easy. She did that with Renee Barron. And then the next year, 95, she and Renee Barron did Are You My Type, Am I Yours? About relationships. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, she did a book called The Enneagram of Parenting. That was the first book she did on her own with HarperCollins, which is great. Hopefully we can talk about cartoons in all of these. And I'm losing track of the order, but I know she did The Happy Introvert, which is specifically about introverts. That really helped me understand my husband. And she did. She and I did The Career Within You together in 2010. That's based in the Enneagram. Yay!
I love this book.
Thank you. We did that we did that with HarperCollins as well. Let's see. And then let's make sure we mentioned all her books. She did a children's book called Finding the Birthday Cake.
Which yes. Is
she did The Enneagram of Death. And her last book was The Enneagram for Teens. She just came out with that last year, right after The Enneagram of Death. So am I missing one of her books?
I think that's if from what I have Enneagram Parenting, Happy Introvert. I have The Enneagram for Teens, Enneagram for Death, and then the two books I have, three. Those are ones I have.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
She also did a number of, she did three different CDs, music CDs. She's a musician, actually. Speaking of being an artist, she's really an artist like yourself and studied piano and at UC Berkeley, started out as a musician. So she probably would have never guessed that she'd become a cartoonist. She started her first book at age 55.
See, so it's never too late for me.
Yeah, that was after she raised four kids.
Wow.
Did her first book, so that there's hope for all of us, right?
And also too, she did Psychology Today. I used to read her blog all the time. I read her blog all the time, and so coming in my feed, I would read the next chapter. I love it. I was surprised she actually wrote one. I think when we had when we met via Twitter.
Very cool.
Remember Twitter? And I wanted to interview you guys. I was so happy because I was in a really weird like space. And I just wanted to meet people who I kind of admired and I read their stuff. I'm like, come on my podcast, my new podcast. And you guys did. And what's so great about it, you guys were so loving and open and caring. And it was no judgment. You're like, you don't know anything, whatever. And I was, you know, I'm like a novice. But you guys really came through and made me feel welcome. Mm. And I just really appreciate that. And that's what I remember. And I finally am going to put that up. I finally got the audio of that interview that I'm going to put back up on Enneagram Life. And it's just great memories on that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, likewise. Yeah. I mean, I really appreciate all the blogging and writing that you've done. So hopefully, if anyone's listening to this podcast and haven't read all of Adrian's work, definitely check him out because you have so many great posts.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's like, because I'm always fascinated by the why. I guess that goes because remember I'm six, but I wing on with, you know, the five and the seven, and I'm always motivated by the why. Why are people doing this? What's behind the scenes and the, you know, childhood, that kind of thing. And so when I was looking at her, Elizabeth's, you know, art, I did cry. When she was sick, I was crying. My husband came in and he was like, "What's wrong?" I said, "One of my favorite authors, is, you know, very ill." And I just started crying. It was really sad. I was really upset. But I think about how, you know, she told everyone and share her experience and her books, and people got to really give tribute to her. And I think that's the best way. But I want to talk about one thing. One of my favorite illustrations that she did was in the Enneagram Made Easy, and it was on page 87.
Okay, I have it open. I see a bunch of people with parachutes.
I went skydiving, okay, because I had a fear.
You're a flying support group.
Fear of heights. I mean, I couldn't even go and walk over bridges or walk across anything high, you know, Golden Gate or whatever from California. I couldn't even do that. I couldn't even walk across the platforms. And so I wanted to get over this fear, this massive fear of heights. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw this illustration, I literally fell out laughing. I mean, hysterical. I was like, oh my goodness, this is me. And I this is the first time I knew somebody got me.
Oh, and what was it about it? What was about this cartoon with the parachutes that just struck a chord for you? Like, what was it where you're like, yes?
Because it's funny, because I think it brings out the phobic and the, you know, kind of like the fear side of the six, but also the bravado side of the sixes. So you got right. One who's like petrified, saying, "Oh my God, hold me!"
Right.
And then the other trying to calm you. I got you. I'm gonna help you. I help the underdogs. You know. And what I saw. I saw
like the juxtaposition of like the complete wimps flopping there, and then these like real machismo guys. That's right. They got six. They have sixes on their So those are the sixes.
Yeah, and it was both it was both sides of the sixes that, you know, people are always talking about, you know, the six being so complicated, say, but this right here embodied what the sixes was about in some way. Not always fearful, but also strength. And I think that's what I love about this.
I love that. I love that. Maybe that's why so many of my friends are sixes, because the strength part, the strong side of sixes, I feel so safe, you know, and like they're there for me. So that's really good. Well, the cartoon that just tickles me, it's about my type because I'm a seven. And I don't know if I can even explain it to you or people on the podcast. It's more of like you said, like when I saw it, I laughed so hard because I could so relate. Like, yes, yes, exactly. That's how I feel is, it's in the Enneagram of Parenting. Do you have that book?
I do. I have that one on my tablet.
So if you flip through the adventurer style, there's a bunch of type seven adventurers. But if you go maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cartoons in on page 97 of my book, this just cracks me up. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I didn't realize I was this bad. Is it shows a little kid, he's a seven, he's in his pajamas, and he's going up to the dad who's like just had it with this kid. The dad is sitting in his armchair looking kind of mean, sternly down at the kid, like, enough already. And then behind him is this silly looking, drooling, like a, I guess a dinosaur that's wearing sandals and has eyelashes and a bow. And it's this huge dinosaur, like three times as big as the armchair. And the kid says, "I know I asked you if I could have a pet 100 times, but this time I really mean it." And it's like, it's probably not even funny to other people, but to me it's so funny. It's like, oh shit, I do that to people all the time where like, I ask and ask and ask and ask, and I will like not take no for an answer. You know, it's like people must, they've got to be scared of me, you know, because I will just like not give up. I'm like, that's enough with this kid bothering his dad. No, he's not going to have the dinosaur as a pet. But I think it's like the kid believes, I believe too, like the kid believes that one day he will have this dinosaur.
I mean, look at the father though. He's looking at scouring like, what?
Yeah, it just captures it. So what, do you have any other favorites?
My favorite, I think, is I'm going to go into the book you were talking about, Are You My Type? Am I Yours? Uh-huh. And I think it's on page 39. I don't think it's me, of course, but I was interested in this for some reason many years ago. And I'm going to say it. I don't know why, but I found it funny. And there's a guy kind of hugging a two. I don't know. I don't know if the guy is a six or a four. I don't know. It isn't say. But it's but it's like, my darling, I couldn't wait to get home so I could tell you how much I love you. And the two says, fine, but it would have been nicer to hear you say it in front of everyone.
The poor two, like, the guy's trying to do the right thing, and she's so disappointed because, yeah, he's like keeping it a secret how much he appreciates her.
Yeah, I have a husband who's a 2-1-ish, and so this kind of this makes me, you know, he is more as a more romantic, more need that kind of like assurance and. You know, just want everybody to know that he loves me. And so I kind of get that a little bit. But that's before I even knew him. But this cartoon, this illustration, always stood out for me for some reason. I think because I was single for a long time and I kind of like that.
Yeah. Maybe. I marked that one in there too, in the relationship book. Are You My Type, Am I Yours? Do you have a copy or do you have the...
I have the hardcover that's literally has tape all over it because I used this went in the bathroom when I used to take baths. I used to take this book
totally
with my wine.
Yeah, I marked one on it's on page 116. It's once again, it's like the 7 chapter about myself. And then it goes through... it's really good. There's bullet points about how you match up with all the different types.
Yeah.
Great when people are single and they're trying to figure out who they'd be good with. So, but then under the twos, how do I match up with the two? I see this cartoon and it's like, yes, it's like so exasperating because I used to have a boyfriend who was a type 2 and I'm like, this is exactly my problem with him is you see there's these two people at a party. One's a 7, one's a 2.
Right.
And they each have their own little audience around them, and they're each telling stories and making the other people laugh and entertaining them. And it's like, yeah, we have to, the 2 and the 7 have to compete with each other at parties. We can't be the belle of the ball, like, because he was the belle of the ball, you know what I mean? And he had better stories, and he was more charming. And so we had a great time going to parties together, but we had to compete, you know, for people's attention. So anyway, I just loved it because it just exactly captured the situation.
Oh, that's interesting. But you know what I like about this? You're showing me this illustration. In a point of view of a 7 that I am not. I mean, I wing on it, but you, I mean, so I'm getting a little clearer picture of it. It's actually very interesting. it's very interesting.
Actually, why don't we move on? Let's look at how we match up with our husbands. So,
we
have to go to the 6th chapter and look at the bullet points for. The 2 or the 1? You think he's a 2?
Well, okay. I really, because I'm looking at. Let me just say that 6 is like to look at the negative side of things, as we often do. So the problem is, he says he's a 2, but his 1 is strong. He's the strong force. So for me, the positive thing. So let me just go into what 6 is say. You want me to go what 6 is say about 2s?
Yeah, or whatever jumps out at you, I'll get to that page too.
So, I mean, so I see this stuff, you know, that joke around, they see I'm a lighter side, joke around, help me to lighten up, values my protectiveness, try to help me to do the right thing. But I don't, when it goes into the trouble spots, I don't see that much. Connection, maybe he would say something different. I saw more of it on the 1 of the trouble spots. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, what are the things that drive you nuts about your husband that's on the one list?
He's a perfectionist. I mean, he has a mind that he can remember a lot of stuff. So Sometimes I can't remember things. So I have fibromyalgia and I can't remember. And he remembers a lot of stuff. So he said, no, that's, you didn't say that. Like, you didn't say that. You said this. And he'll, you know, quote me like, and I'm mad because I'm like, what? That's not fair because you remember and I can't remember that. I have fibro, they call it fibro fog, when sometimes you can't remember, recall something. And that part drives me nuts. Because I believe in, I see the grays of things. I see that everything is not black and white. And he definitely, he says, well, it's not right. It's black and white. I'm right and you're wrong because I'm right. And I'm like, you're right because you think you're right. And that's your point of view. So that's our ongoing. What about you?
Okay, I'm flipping to what seven say about nine, because my husband's a nine. And it's all really lovely. You know, I agree with all this, but actually I guess I have to go to the cartoon. Is pretty funny. Is there's flip on page 121. Okay, that's me and my husband, because there's a cartoon. It shows the nine sitting. He's sitting there alone, and a cobweb has grown off of his head attached to the lady's chair, and he's playing checkers or something, and he's still sitting there. Then my chair, I'm gone out of the picture, and there's a sign that says, gone fishing. So yeah, he's like very sedentary. He'd be happy to just stay indoors and read all weekend long, which sounds good to me too sometimes.
That's my husband too. He likes, he's a gamer though. But you know, I just thought about that, because sevens, they're so adventurous. They have to be keep busy, right?
So yes, I think I drive him nuts. I'm constantly moving, you know?
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Actually, he cracked himself up because he sang a song. He says my theme song is... There she goes again. So it's like the flip side of the dude with the cobweb on his head.
And you know, also too, just to go into a briefly, you know what I like the most? I just thinking about this, the book, Elizabeth's book, when she had the scale, the color scale, you know, the books, when you had the famous pairs. I really like the famous pairs, trying to match myself for people that I admire or a character I loved. And then the relationships and seeing, I used to literally X out and say, okay, I don't want that. I want this. I want this one. I want this
one. Look at those X's. Who did you X out?
And so I was really... really quite involved with the color chart, where it's with you know, the different the dark the black versus the different grays, and trying to find my match for so long. Brings back so many memories.
That reminds me of my poor friend, this guy. He thought he was a four, which turns out he's not, but for years he thought he was a four. And so if you do those color charts and you do all the matching, mm-hmm. Every guy gets matched up except for the four. When you if you actually compare all the charts, and you're like, wait a minute, nobody prefer because they have a male version and a female version, so that there are no females that prefer the four. And he was just crushed, you know. Which isn't true. I mean, this is an approximation that, you know.
Yeah. But I always, for me, I'm like a 6 foot tall person. I always felt like I was I looked at the male roles a lot. For some reason, they matched me more than the female. So yeah. I don't know what that means.
I should look at that too. Look at the male version. But you know, I think our generation, I think a lot of people have read all these books and they made such an impact on us, especially when we were younger in formative years. But I think a lot of new readers now haven't read these books. They don't know them.
I think so. I think people more and more, I get people sometimes emailing me and saying, what's the Enneagram? Could you help me find my type? Mm-hmm. And I that's one of my goals. You know, some people can't afford certain things, or they, you know, they don't know where to go, and I kind of like direct people to books all the time. Yeah. I say, oh, get this book here, I'll go to this site here, and just to get people introduced to the Enneagram. And I think that's my mission a little bit, you know, on social media. I want everyone to know about this system. I think it's the best.
Yeah. Likewise.
Yeah.
Well, do we have any other remembrances of Elizabeth Wagley? Any other cartoons or?
I just got The Happy Introvert because I wanted to read a little bit more about, I feel like this book is probably, you know, kind of a tribute to her because she is vibe. And I want to really read that and kind of understand more because I used to date a lot of fives. I was really attracted to fives. Mm. And I just want to just kind of remember. And I'm really looking forward to this. A couple books I have never read, and so I have them. I'm on my train and daily, and I'm reading. So it's just great stuff. I love it.
Yeah, me too. I am looking forward to digging in deeper into some of these that I had on my shelf, but I hadn't actually read. You know, like her recent one, The Enneagram for Teens.
Wow, awesome.
I've kind of flipped through it, but. Yeah, she did give me a better appreciation for introverts and also for fives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I understood introverts at all, you know, until I met my husband, which was around the time that she came out with that book. So it was perfect timing. And, you know, my perspective is completely different now than it was. So that was helpful. And some of the cartoons that she has in here about fives, because Elizabeth Wagley was a five.
Right.
And, you know, working with her, one of the greatest strengths of the five is that they have incredible focus.
Yeah.
So it's quite a sight to behold to work with a five. You know, how they can literally work for, you know, 12 hours straight, days on end, weeks on end, completely focused on something. Good cartoon about it in The Career Within You on page 129. I don't know if you have that, but
of course I do. Come on.
It says Larissa concentrated so hard on the dung beetles, she didn't know a whole city had sprung up around her. And she's like looking down in this hole at this beetle, and there's these, you know, high rises around her. But it was so true. It was really, you know, nice for me to appreciate that because as a young seven, as a teenager or something, a five might look kind of boring because they seem quiet, but it was incredible energy and focus she had. And then in the teen book, The Enneagram for Teens on page 89, there's a thing that says Bob was a strange bird. And it almost looks like a bar straight out of Star Wars with Jabba the Hutt or something and all these like strange characters. But just the originality that, you know, any person can have, but fives have a real, they're not worried about image or approval sometimes. So they can just express what they see, you know, they can be themselves.
And they're very, they're very direct, very truthful.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I like the five. I like the five a lot.
When you were in art school, were there a lot of fives in art school?
I knew, well, you know, it's a lot of four fives and five, you know, it's a lot of fives and fours because everybody was so misunderstood. And so I think this guy was a really hot guy. I hope my husband's not listening, but it was a really hot guy who we were in oil class, oil painting. And we used to paint these 6 feet paintings of nude and things like that. And I had this, I loved his work. His work was the best, I thought. And it was just kind of funny, which I thought he was kind of like a four or five, but he had to be something like that. And found out that he hated his work. He loved my work. And so I'm like, oh my God, your stuff is so great. He said, no, because his was so smooth and the stroke was just so fluid. My stroke is always choppy. I like to see the stroke, the brush stroke, the, you know, the paint. And so it's just interesting to to understand different points of view and personalities. And he was very introverted. He was quiet. We would just work side by side with each other, but really great artists. And so I think, you know, with that, Fives have that kind of like inner strength, trying to bring out the best in themselves and that kind of stuff. So I think they're brilliant. I think Fives are brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't touch on all nine types. Do you think we need to touch on any more?
Well, we can always come back and do another podcast. But if people want to know more, we can do it like a brief. If you want to do a kind of brief rundown on the types, you want to use your the career within you.
Oh, sure. Okay. You know what I'll do? In the career within you, what we do is we talk about their greatest strengths. So the perfectionist's greatest strength is making improvements. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say anything more about that, or should I just keep going?
Yeah, I agree. And I think when I think of that improvements, to make sure that, I guess, seen as doing the right thing, I believe.
Yeah. And the helper, their greatest strength is meeting needs. Mm-hmm. Would you say your husband's better at meeting needs or better at making improvements?
He's great at meeting needs for others, and I want him to do self-care for himself too.
Right. That's probably the two's greatest weakness, is meeting their own needs. The type three's greatest strength is attaining a successful image.
But so I guess I'm going to do the six, kind of the other part of it. But I want them to think about that it's not, image is not everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, it's okay not to have the perfect house or the perfect family, or, you know, just do the best you can be, you know, yourself. It's okay.
Right, right. Okay, yeah. Four's greatest strength, and you saw a lot of this in art school, is expressing individuality.
Mm-hmm. And understand that it's a lot. People do understand you, that, you know, and it's okay. You might be unique and different, but that's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I it's okay.
That's good. Type five's greatest strength is acquiring knowledge.
Yes. But sometimes, someone else might know something too.
Yeah. That can be awkward at times when occasionally, like when I deal with a five where I actually know more than they do on that particular topic, but I sometimes just keep my mouth shut because it's, you know what I mean? The one that knows. So, okay. The type six, the questioner's greatest strength is reducing risk.
I think so. But also, we sixes have a big issue about fear. I think J.K. Rowling is a six. Mm-hmm. You know, the fear of failure. And sometimes, you know, doing something big, it's extremely scary. So do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just go for it. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yep.
Okay, the type seven's greatest strength is exploring possibilities.
Yes, but sometimes you need quiet time, and it's okay to kind of be in the moment and reflect. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, type eight, their greatest strength is setting clear boundaries.
Oh. The eight. Let me see if I can think of anything. But, and also too, know that you might be too much for some people, and don't shrink yourself, but also have balance. Have balance, I think.
That's good.
Yeah.
good wisdom. And finally, type 9. And this is something I definitely want to give Elizabeth Wagley credit for, because she articulated, I think, better than any other Enneagram authors on this, is the greatest strength is maintaining inner calm.
Mm.
And called it the peace seeker as opposed to peacemaker, because not all nines are running around being mediators, but it's about their inner calm. Like, there are different ways to express that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I had a roommate who was a nine, and I didn't know this person that really was angry with me, and they were angry with me for 2 years and didn't even know it, and they blew. Oh. And so that's what I would say, you know, sometimes you need to have these, like, you know, let it out, and it's right. Okay, because you can't hold any of that negativity in.
Yeah.
And that's going to make you, you know, more healthy. So mm-hmm. That's the good stuff.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. So anyway, we hope that if folks are listening, that you were able to flip through your own books, find your favorite cartoons, or go check it out if you haven't read Elizabeth Wagley. And I'm really going to miss her a lot. She was, for me, she was a co-author on one book. She was a mentor, a hero, but also a friend, a playmate, a confidant. So it's going to be strange for her to not be there. But I just feel so blessed. I feel like we've all been really blessed with all these books and all this wisdom and humor and light.
Yeah. I mean, and you have that personal touch, you know, experience. And it's, I guess, as a fan, as a person who respects her work, I'm going to miss not having another book.
Yeah.
Aww. No. And so I grabbed them all. I have them all. And I'm just going to go through them and just try to get little bits of pieces of Elizabeth from them. So I want to thank everybody. I want to thank you, Ingrid, for stopping by and doing our podcast and just remembering a great person who brought so much joy and happiness and insight to the Enneagram. Elizabeth Wagley, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. So thank you so much. It stopped? Okay. And cut.